And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Rural Survival Show right here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is Saturday, the 29th day of January in the year of our Lord, 2022. Rick and I are discussing gardening. It's time to open up the lines for calls. So the number, call-in number is 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. The five-minute rule does apply because Rick's still got a lot more information to get out. So give us a call, folks. Let's try to keep it on topic if we can. Okay, Rick, please proceed.
Yeah, so a couple things that I wanted to mention last week, and I did not get to it, and this is kind of important, is cell size. If you're arrested, ask for a big cell. No, I'm kidding. Cell size. When you're planting, you're going to have choices when in your flats. There are a number of different flats out there. Some flats have 24 cells, so they're big. The ones I use got 48. They're half the size. But there are trays out there. Professionals use, like, whatever they are, 162s and 258s or so. I forget. But these cells are minuscule. And if you go, you know, professionals wouldn't do this any other way. They have space issues. They need to get a lot of plants into a very small space. And and they're good at it, though. I mean, you know, this is what they do for them. They're gonna succeed. Whereas a novice probably won't. Those small cells have to be fed regularly and watered twice a day. If you got a job, you know, or something, you might wind up killing a whole bunch of plants. So, you know, to that end, you'd be better off sticking with the 24s or the 48s, and that way you're going to get a little bit more forgiveness as far as food and water. You know, if you don't get to them in exactly the right hour, you should be okay. If they're wet when you leave home, they'll be alive when you get back. So, you know, I use the 48s because I'm a contractor, and my schedule is kind of all over the place. So I come and go a lot, and so I have an opportunity to get out the wand and water, which, by the way, I find cathartic, that is to say, a meditation of sorts, relaxing. I like watering my plants. It's nice. And so I can keep control of 48s. If you're not as disciplined or you're a novice, you might want to go with 24s. That way, at least you won't kill all your plants. The other thing I really, really want to mention is heat mats. I know you're thinking, I don't need me no stinking heat mat. Well, that depends. If you go to Lazy Dog Farm, I'm glad I read that because I was thinking it was Hoss. If you go to Lazy Dog Farm, this is where you will find the youngest member of the Hoss family. Under blog, they have a blog called Optimal Germination Temperatures, and I'm going to tell you what they are because I think you're going to find that for the most part, your house isn't this hot. Your garage certainly isn't. There's a range. They have a range and then an optimal. So beans are 65
right, Rick,
to 85.
Before we get to the actual temperatures, we have a caller waiting. We've got Marcus in Idaho on line 3. Good morning, Marcus.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to go off topic, if I could. There's no place for me to be able to find this topic because I've been delving this in my mind for a while. And I would just like to give that to you and your listeners and ask what you think about this.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, So I've been thinking about the Buffalo genocide that happened in America, and of course the Great Plains, the destruction of all the seed sources that we have across the nation and all the flowers and such. They were fed from was the buffalo herds. Of course, those great buffalo herds creating that whole plain structure. And why we don't have the buffaloes anymore is actually it's the barons from the railroads which influenced the government of America to send out the army to kill these people. They influenced they bought people from the Civil War to be able to go out and destroy them. So they were behind the scenes, just like the CIA involved in so many things in America. I mean, the CIA creating MS-13 in Mexico through their Something of Americas. What we have here is I think history has not written correctly why the buffalo herds were extinguished. Of course, they wanted the Indians out of the way, but the buffaloes were getting in their way because they were such great herds. So they needed to destroy them. And they went in the back rooms and decided that. And I think that's something that no one has ever written about or probably ever will written about, except unless it's fiction.
Well, I've read about it, so somebody has written about it. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I was going to say it is written about, but are you, you're losing me. What point are you making? I'm not following you here.
Okay, what I'm saying is that it wasn't the, a lot of history indicates that it was the white guys who were from the Civil War which went out and killed the buffaloes, and they killed them from the rail cars and such, and they just killed them in huge numbers. But I'm saying that that was intentional by the robbers, the barons of the railroad companies, which had decided that that must happen. And they went and told Abraham Lincoln and the other people inside of the government, we've got to destroy these buffalo in order for this this country to flourish and in order for manifest destiny to happen, so that the Vanderbilts were behind the destruction of the buffaloes in order to reshape the whole our country. And that this is it's like Bill Gates behind the COVID-19 deciding that we need to reshape the world and destroy the people.
Thank you. I was going to ask you if you've made the connection. I mean, that wasn't the last dastardly thing they did. They're in the process right now of trying to kill people, not buffaloes. So yeah, we got problems. There's no question we got problems. I don't think there's an agency out there, whether it's our government, European government, Canadian government, Australian, Chinese, the IMF, the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, MI6, the Vatican. I don't think there is an organization out there anymore that has our good in mind. And this is why Tim and I are on the air Saturday suggesting that you folks learn to take care of yourselves, because in my opinion, it's pretty much up to you. You're not going to get any help from the government. In fact, I think they want you dead.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, eugenics is definitely in the plan for all of humanity. What they want is they built a structure with the robber barons, the banks and everything, or the robber barons of the banks, but also the railroads. The railroads taking the whole manifest destiny across the country and destroying anything which would stop their power. The American natives and the buffalo, and then building these societies. And now it's come to the point where they've already built the infrastructure and they want to destroy the people which live in the infrastructure. Again, it's the same thing with the buffaloes and the Native Americans, anything which will go against their power so that they can take us down to a negative, or you know what, 500,000, 500 million, whatever, so that they can absolutely have all the levers of power without any interrupted thing. And we need to, as far as the people, we need to strengthen ourselves with this resolve and not listen to the lies of history, but actually think about things inside of our mind and see what's happening so that we can be enactors of good wherever we can.
Yeah, be anti-fragile. Learn, be anti-fragile. Learn to garden, learn skills. Get some Bitcoin, get some silver. Get as far away from their system as you can. Learn to take care of yourself, learn to grow your own food, get right with God. This is the antidote to the fiat currencies, the dollar and the reserve currency of the world. The fiat currencies are based in and backed by pure violence. And you know, once you get beyond the squabbling over currencies and wars regarding those, once you get beyond that, you will find that is where the average man and woman want to live. That is where peace is. That is, everybody just wants to be live their life in pursuit of happiness. Everybody wants to be left.
I don't actually agree with you. I'm sorry about that. I think the average man and woman is very happy with the status quo, and that's a problem. I have a couple $1,960 that are that say that I can send them to the Federal Reserve and get the equivalent of silver from them. I save them because they're worthless. They're all wrinkled and everything. But that's the system that we used to have, and it's a memorabilia. But I don't think the average man and woman is really standing up to the plate.
I wasn't suggesting that they were. What I was suggesting is they wish they were not being harassed by the system. The system has pretty much got everybody chasing everyone around. No, I agree with you. You're not going to get any help from the average American. They're pretty much a bunch of boiled frogs. I'm not really talking to them. They're not here. They wouldn't listen to me even if they were. So, we're talking to a very small group of single-minded individuals right here.
Right. And I'm just saying that this is a big deal, that the buffaloes were destroyed by the barons from the railroad. That is a history. I mean, how many millions of American children are being taught that there was the white man, just the crazy guy out there, which was shooting the buffalo from the railroad cars for no reason.
Marcus.
And this is something that...
Marcus, let me interrupt, buddy. We've given you double the time allotted. I think you've made your point. I agree with you that history as taught in the colleges is... you know, completely erroneous. But anyway, sir, we thank you for your call, and we've got to move on.
It's been rewritten and rewritten. There's no intelligent history book out there anymore.
No.
And there's no point in getting excited about it. You know, right at the beginning of the show, I was talking about the man who fell to Earth, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. He is whipping himself into a froth about things that he has no control over, and he needs to control the things he can control and be responsible for the things that he can be responsible for, and don't sit there and stare at the television and break into a rash. That's crazy. As the motto, my wife's school's motto, it's a school for boys, is Estovir. It's be a man. Be a man. Don't wait for somebody else to do what you're supposed to be doing. Do it yourself. Be a man. Do we have a caller, or should I do germ temps?
No, we don't have a caller. Let's go back to the germination temperatures.
Yeah, this is why, in my opinion, you need at least one heat mat. Okay, I have four, and I'm only really using one right now, but I will fire up the other one this afternoon or tomorrow. By the way, the idea of a heat mat is it looks like a big placemat, but it's got wiring in it, so it would be like a thermal blanket. Except it's looks like car seat material, so it's waterproof, and it has a thermostat that is connected to it. And this thermostat has on it a wire with a probe. And what you do is you put your planted out flats on top of this heat mat on a shelf with a grow light above it. And you put the probe into the soil. And the idea is that you adjust the thermostat up and up until you get to, hopefully, the ideal germ temp, germination temperatures. And there's a range, but there are ideals. And what you're going to find is that I think these things don't really go any higher than 105, but you will never get your tray up that high because it has to do with the ambient temperature. If you try to use these things in an open area where you've got air moving or air blowing, wind blowing, you're not going to get anywhere near where you're supposed to be. So you need to be in a place with where the ambient temperature is, warm enough that you can make the thing work. So beans, 65 to 85, optimal 80. Beets, 50 to 85, that's a big range, optimal 85. Now, in order for me to get a flat up to 85, I am going to have to turn this thermostat all the way to 105, and I don't think I've ever seen a flat go beyond 75 or 78 degrees in this heated garage. So, you know, it's not that hot out here. Broccoli, 50 to 85, optimal 75. Brussels sprouts, 50 to 85, again, it's another brassica. Optimal 75. Cabbage, same thing. Carrots, strangely, they're not a brassica, but that's the same. 50 to 85, optimal 75. Cauliflower, this is weird, 45 to 85. That's a very forgiving seed. Optimal 80.
Boy, isn't it?
Collards, the same thing. 45 to 85, once again, optimal. Where'd I go? 75. Corn, is most of the time direct seeded. I mean, you could do it as starts, but I probably wouldn't. Cucumber.
I've done it a couple of times, but,
I take
that energy cleaner. I put corn in the little seed trays, and I take that energy cleaner thing that John Moore sells, and, I use that on my seed starts, and I'm telling you, Rick, it doubles how fast. You better have the garden ready if you use that thing.
Yeah, therein lies the issue. There's a lot of these things. I don't think I better go through them all. Let's just pick a few of the eggplants. Okay, so eggplants is one of the things I will be starting in the next 2 weeks. 60 to 95, see, because this is a nightshade, and they do love the heat. 85 degrees is optimal. It's pretty tough to get a flat up that hot, but you can try. Leeks, lettuce, onions. 75 degrees on onions. Here we have a break.
Yes, we do. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back in 3 minutes. Call-in number is 512-248-8252.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Rural Survival Show right here on Republic Broadcasting. Today is Saturday, 29th day of January, in the year of our Lord 2022. Rick and I are discussing soil temperatures for seed germination, vegetable seed germination. Rick, please continue, sir.
Yeah, well, as looking at this list here, what I think is interesting is the things that we term as cool weather crops, like turnips, radishes, spinach, and all these things, they will germinate at 65 degrees. And germinate at 65, meaning that, as you see, it might not be 65 out, but the sun shining on the dirt may well make your garden bed 65, and that would be enough to do that. So those things would be the cool weather crops and probably the things that a person would plant out in the garden first. What is interesting here, too, are the things that I need to get underway in the next 2 weeks are the nightshades, which would include the eggplants, peppers, and tomatoes, and optimal germination temperature for all three of those is 85. Now, I can tell you that if I even turn the thermostat up to 71 or 2, there's a fight in the house. It's going right back down again as soon as my wife walks by. So there's no point in it. I can't germinate anything in the house without a heat map. So and not in the basement's cooler yet, and the garage cooler still. So, you know, I'm going to have to use, if I expect to get decent germination, that's not to say that every seed would not germinate, but you'd get some very crappy germination. What'd you just pay for those 10 seeds, those 10 tomato seeds? Wasn't cheap, was it? $4 or more?
Yeah, it was $4, yes.
Yeah, so 10 seeds, so 40 cents a seed. So you're gonna want those to come up. If you only get one plant
to come
up.
You ain't kidding.
That's not good. I mean, that it says two things. First of all, you wasted your money. Secondly, you're not really going to get that many tomatoes. And thirdly, you're going to buy them again or whatever. So you want to pay attention to the germination temperatures so that when you plant these seeds, you get a decent response, you get a decent germination rate. And the other thing is you plant, and then you find out after 2 weeks that they're just not going to germinate. And now you have to begin again, and you're late. So that's bad. I know we talked about that before. The other thing I want to mention is with respect to these tomato plants that I will be growing and Tim, these except for the Sun Gold, which is an indeterminate open-pollinated plant, which seems to have intelligent disease resistance all on its own. I really never have any problems with Sun Gold plants, whereas, oh my gosh, things like the beefsteaks and the Better Boys and all that, all those heirlooms,
they are
just a big ball of disease. It's one problem after another with those things. The experts at Cicada Seeds who produce the hybrids for people who grow tomatoes for a living, which is what you'll be doing if we have a real food crisis. You'll be growing food to stay alive. I guess that's growing for a living. There are things. There is, for tomatoes, there is stem canker, fusarium wilt, fusarium crown root rot, powdery mildew, root knot, late blight, early blight. The list just goes on and on and on. Bacterial speck, bacterial wilt, mosaic wilt, spotted wilt, the yellow leaf curl, which is a virus carried by the white fly, verticillium wilt. There's two different kinds. So when you buy a hybrid, yes, it's not an heirloom. You can't necessarily, the seeds that you save will not be true to form, but
they'll still be tomatoes.
Yes, they will. And what will happen there is that, say you're a person who appreciates organic gardening. Well, if you appreciate organic gardening, which means you're going to try not to put anything on the tomato plant, in my opinion, you really cannot afford to put heirlooms out. Maybe if you're up north, you might do well. You might do all right. The further south you come, the more heat and the more pest pressure and the more humidity, the more disease pressure you're going to have, the more bugs, disease pressure. If you're going to grow organically, in my opinion, you need to be using hybrids because, you know, at least you'll get a decent harvest out of these things. Wow, that was quick.
Already. All right, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Call in number is 512-248-8252.
Truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Rural Survival Show, right here on Republic Broadcasting. Rick and I are talking about starting seeds, Rick. Is that so?
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah, we are. Let's put a finer point on this, if you didn't pick it up. So you are now growing food because you need the food and you can't afford to fail. So in my opinion, could you work without a heat net? Yeah, you could. Will you grow more and better food with a heat net? Yes, most definitely. Especially, let's say, up until, well, for us, it would be up until June. You know, at which point a flat placed outside to germinate, maybe not in the direct sun, but outside, I could get that flat, say, up to 80 degrees, 75, 80 degrees, and I could get decent germination without using a heat mat. But, you know, we're in a situation right now where I'm supposed to be, what am I supposed to be? I'm supposed to be planting onions. What else? Well, I've got to plant onions, tomatoes, peppers, and something else. This is killing me. Oh, yes, kale, collards. And I don't know if I'll plant chard again. Now, my wife, you know, says, as I believe I mentioned, quit planting things we don't eat. Well, that's a good idea. You know, I really do want to try to focus on things that are highly consumable, usable, no silliness, no bizarre larks. I don't need 4 jalapeno pepper plants because we just don't eat them.
Boy.
The rest of my family just absolutely adores this. When I give them, you know, I'll pick them up and I'll give them to them, and they think it's just marvelous. But they don't do me any good. But, you know, of the peppers that do me good are the pepperoncinis, and that is, for me, a blank canvas. And as I've mentioned many times, that is, as the Hoss Boys would say, that's the makingest plant that you can possibly get. Those things make pepperoncini peppers. It's incomprehensible what these things are doing. It can take you 5 minutes just to get one bush cleaned off, and then it does it all over again. And how hot they're going to be is totally up to you. You know, I put them in a pickle solution with various herbs. At how hot? For me, I'll normally take 1/2 of a jalapeno and drop it in there, and that's hot enough. For everybody else, they want, I split a jalapeno up the middle and drop both halves in, and that's the way they want it. So, you know, for me, that's a real good deal. So heat mats, you can get them off Amazon. They come in various forms. I bought a set of 4, and it wasn't bad. I think it was a set of 4 for $120. I really have only ever unpackaged 2, and so far, that is fine. Heat mats can get to be ridiculously expensive. You really don't have to spend that kind of money, but I would probably try to lay my hands on some sort of a heat mat. Now, as far as the grow lights go, there is this guy out there called On the Grow, okay? And this is an interesting website. I've started getting his stuff lately, and he is a microgreen dude. But he has been doing experiments with lighting and food, and that information is valuable to me. And he's got cheap grow lights, expensive grow lights, regular fluorescent lights, LEDs. But what he seems to get the best response out of is a shelf with 3-4 foot LED fixtures on it. So you're talking, I think you said the cost was $65 for the shelf. The wattage is negligible, but he'll do a test where he'll put a flat of microgreens on each shelf, and then after like 10 days, he'll show them to you. And the ones with the cheap Lowe's or Home Depot LED 4-foot fixtures, they look better to me than the $180 grow light. So
wow,
yeah. So and
hey,
then
Rick, let me interrupt you for a second.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
we do have a caller, and let's get to him before we run out of time. Patricia in Florida on line 3. Good morning, Patricia.
Oh, good morning. I haven't called in for a while. I've had phone problems.
I know.
However, I took exception to something that was said about heirlooms and growing them in southern areas. No matter where you are growing, and I've been a grower for over 50 years, a small grower, not a big one, but I'm learning more and more every year. I have learned if you feed your soil, you won't have those disease problems. And we're going back a few minutes here, so I can't speak directly to what I was going to. But you feed your soil, and your plants will be fine. And by feeding them, the ideal food, of course, is kelp meal, which is hard to get. But you can order. I mean, you used to be able to order it from Nova Scotia and from the islands up there. But we used to be able to get it locally also. You know, we're talking in the 70s. We were getting it for $40 a 50-pound bag locally.
Wow.
But whatever you get, you feed your soil, and those plants will come true, and they won't have those disease problems, even in the South. Now, I've proven that to myself again and again. So feed your soil. Well, Epsom salts is good for tomatoes. Epsom salts.
Yes, there is a theory out there, and I think you're talking about it, is that when your soil is proper, and the reason I don't spend a lot of time on that subject is because it's a little abstruse, and I just don't think people will, take the time to do it. But when your soil nutrition is good, when your plant has everything it needs, and that includes the micronutrients, when the plant has all of the micronutrients that it has, bugs do not seem interested in the plant. They go somewhere else. They seem to want to attack plants that are suffering in some way. And so I agree
with
you.
That's exactly nature.
I agree with you. I believe you're right. I've seen it over and over again in videos, but I don't know how much of that our folks will do. But no, to your point, I believe that is correct.
Well, if they won't do it, then they can't expect any difference. But I took but sand. I took white sand and I was growing lemons till I lost my property. But and I added every week. I went to Starbucks and got their extra coffee once on a weekend. It's like 50 pounds a week, free. It was absolutely free. Put it out, spread it over the soil. Added any leaves I could find coming and going. I would grab leaves galore. Doesn't matter what kind. And I'm telling you, that soil turned black. I ended up with earthworms, and it's nothing that was nothing but sand. So I can tell you that works, and it's true. So if people, if they don't want to bother, then why bother gardening? But the point is you feed your soil, and then you will have decent food. Okay, that's all.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I also recommend black creme tomatoes. I never hear anybody talking about how wonderful they are.
They are. I don't know what could be
black
better.
Creme.
Yep.
K-R-I-M. Black creme. I grew six.
Black creme tomato sandwich.
Yep, on one plant I had over 60, and I was gardening. At that point, my hips weren't working. I was gardening on my knees, and that one plant had 60 tomatoes. I would bring them to church, and people wouldn't even eat them. They would save the seeds.
Well,
it's crazy.
Okay, that's the reason that you had 60 tomatoes, is because you were going to church. It's not the soil.
That was from one plant, though.
Yeah, I know. That is
really, anyway.
Well, honey, if I thought I could get away with that, maybe I'll try a couple black crims again. I did last year, and man, I got my butt kicked. It didn't work. But I don't know. Maybe you give me hope. Maybe I'll do better.
They didn't produce, or what happened?
No, it just said it was just one problem after another. It seemed like either we'd get a deluge of rain and they'd split, or a squirrel would get under the netting and take bites. It was just one issue after another. And no, I probably didn't get it for the whole year. I probably didn't get more than, I don't know, six tomatoes off one plant. And that's just, but they are without a doubt the best tomato you can get.
And are you in Missouri? Are you doing this in Missouri?
Yes.
No, well,
right about in the middle.
Yeah, I've kind of been watching that to see what happens there. But I was a Vermont farmer before. Now I'm Florida.
Yeah.
Of course, I like Florida because I can garden every day of the year.
Yeah,
right.
Hey, speaking of which,
I grew up there. I know what you mean.
Have you been watching Hollis and Nancy, the channel?
Oh, there? I haven't been. I've got. Are they okay?
They're down there with you now, and they have been, they're gardening in sand, and the people from Black Cow brought in, I think, two or three trailer loads of Black Cow, and they dumped it on his property, and he is doing very well. But so he's got a combination of sand and black cow. And I take issue with some of the things the man does, but his success is undeniable. When you watch this man grow food, I am just, I'm frustrated and embarrassed. He is hitting them out of the park. It's called Hollis and Nancy's Homestead.
Yeah, I used to watch them. So they're still on. Are they on YouTube?
The first couple years, he was in a little subdivision house in North Carolina somewhere. But then for about the last 2 years, they've been down in Florida. And I don't know where, but they've got about 25 acres of sand, and they're gardening. That's what he does. And he has that gigantic garden with a 10-foot fence around it. This man is not messing around.
No, he's good. He's good. I love watching him. I used to love watching him. So,
yeah. Great. Well, in Florida now.
But, yeah. Well, this what I'm surprised at, for the first time in, I don't know, I can't tell you how many years, I've gotten strawberries that taste like the most wonderful heavenly strawberry you've ever had in your life all the way through. I can't get over it from little, and I actually bought plants from a local grower, but I can't believe how good they are. And they just keep producing and producing. Of course, this is our strawberry season, but I've never had strawberries like this in my life. I don't want to make you jealous, sorry.
Well,
you'll be having them when ours are done.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe we should add that to the fertilization schedule. You know, fertilize the plants on Saturday, go to church on Sunday, and everything's going to work out for you.
Okay. I got a call coming in. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thanks,
you,
ma'am.
Pat. Okay. Well, folks, I don't think we have time for any more callers today. We're getting ready to go to our last break and then close out the show. You know, Rick, what Patricia was talking about, you know, I grew up in Florida. I grew up on Merritt Island. And I've got to admit, it was much easier to grow stuff there than it is where we're at here in Missouri. I don't know why that is. It was just easier.
Well, I've got a bunch of clay, and clay means, you know, like, you know, it's dirt minus the organic material, but instead of draining like sand would, it becomes paste and then dries out in 5 minutes. It is very, very difficult to grow around here. It requires the addition of a lot of organic material in order to make things work.
Yeah, I agree. My first effort at planting cherry trees here on the farm did not work because of the clay. But I learned to do. I dug the hole about 2.5 times deeper than it needed to be, and I used regular builder sand and poured it in the hole. The cherries did great. They did great.
Yeah. Well, I would, you know, to her point, you know, I want to go over what she's really kind of describing is the no dig situation, and we've been over that ground a few times, but when your soil reaches a certain point of maturity, it is producing all of the microbes that will keep bugs and disease tend to keep them away. And the other thing is that can be mimicked in the short term by the Mittleiter process, which is where you are physically adding the food and the microbes. You're actually doing it yourself. And it mimics a no-dig bed. It mimics a mature no-dig bed. And I guess what we can talk about next time, and what I've been meaning to bring up is that if you go to the trouble of starting to create a no-dig beds, it takes around 4 or 5 years for those things to really get going. In the short run, you can use the Mittleiter process on the no-dig bed. And then as the no-dig bed begins to produce its own micronutrients, and macros as well, at that point, you can just hold back on anything, you can hold back on your inputs. You know, you wouldn't necessarily have to add any fertilizers or micros. They would be there. So,
right.
You know, it's you could create the bed and still use it, even though brand new beds don't create much in the way of food. So
you're absolutely correct on that one.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you mentioned that, I'd almost forgotten. You know, when we first bought this place 30 years ago, the first thing we tried to do was put in a garden. And needless to say, it didn't work so well.
No.
You know.
No, it won't.
We got some food, but not a lot.
Well, that's it. It was interesting to me, that fella from Haas Tools was inundated with emails about how he should, and the Nordic people can be very militant, but they were really browbeating him about tilling and all this, and said, oh, you shouldn't do that, yada, yada. Okay. Well, it is his dirt. He can do what he wants with it, but so
right.
he did create a no-dig bed, and the first year, he grew some cabbages, and they were, oh, gosh, you know, like, I don't know, 25% of what it should have been, and that
right.
was just simply lack of nutrients. The cabbages that came out of the traditional gardening beds where he was feeding them with balanced fertilizer and then later with pure nitrogen, you know, he was getting, you know, 5 and 6 pound cabbages out of there. So, but, you know, at the same time, there were some real successes there. And I mentioned it before, his beets in the brand new no-dig bed looked so much better than the beets growing in the conventional garden. The beets growing in his conventional garden looked sickly. They were bug-eaten. I'm not even sure they were edible. But the stuff he planted in the compost looked great. The beets looked good. The greens were amazing, and so it probably varies from plant to plant. So we can say that, you know, something like a cabbage does not appreciate a brand new no-dig bed, but a beet doesn't mind. So,
right.
You know, if that's the case, then, you know, if you know what the mitt-lighter method is, which is a reasonably inexpensive way to grow food, it's very, in fact, some people would say it is the most cost-effective way to do it. What I'm suggesting here is that everybody should create no-dig beds, like right now, because, you know, I don't know that we've got 4 years before you really, really need them. This is what I'm saying. I don't know that you've got 4 years to wait for them to mature. If you live long enough, they will. A genuine food supply problem might occur before the bed is mature, but it doesn't matter because if you augment with a mitt-lighter system until it's mature and we have a food crisis that is not handy for your timetable, you'll be fine. You'll be able to coast through, and then, you know, later on and possibly after the crisis has abated, you would be able to back off on the mitt-lighter stuff and just go straight with the no-dig bed, which, you know, the only thing you really have to do there is just overlay it with a couple inches of compost every year or twice a year, whatever you feel like doing, and
right.
That's pretty cheap too.
Well, Rick, we got about 3 minutes left. Do you want to go ahead and pick a prayer for us today?
Yeah, that would be fine. Holy Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection. against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And to you, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the divine power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all of the other evil spirits that wander through the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate that. I'm sure our listeners
okay.
do, too.
Right.
You know, Rick, one thing we haven't talked about, you know, kids and old people like us know what we like and know what we want to eat. I would have a suggestion that people plant their favorite foods, their favorite vegetables. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, as long as, well, you're going to have to probably compromise. As long as it produces, I think it's going to depend on how much ground you have. I have three acres, and if we really get into trouble, I'll probably have to turn the whole 3 acres into a food-producing situation. To that extent, you can also put aside things like sugar, brown sugar, condiments of all sorts. As I said the other day, from Webstaurant.com, I bought 25 pounds of unsweetened chocolate cocoa. These things can be purchased and set aside so that you don't start getting into a situation, as you're mentioning, with young and old people who tend to get food fatigued and then just systematically starve themselves to death. Somehow the people in the middle seem to be able to force feed oatmeal to themselves. But as far as the rest of that goes, I mean, if you've got limited space, you're not really going to be able to do watermelons. You're talking about a plant that sprawls like nobody's business, and the food isn't really storable. So, you know, you're going to have to make a plan, really. You're going to have to think about this. I would start with the plants I mentioned, and then depending on what kind of space you have, maybe expand and add a few more things. And if you're in limited space, if you ask me, your big deal right now would be to lay your hands on the largest inexpensive pots that you can find, and that might be online. You know, I'd be aiming for somewhere between 10 and 20 gallon pots.
Right, I agree. Well, folks, that's it for today. It's all the time we have. Hope you'll come back and visit with us next week. So it'd be same time, same channel. Folks, keep your head on a swivel. Pay attention to what's going on. And we'll be praying for you, so we hope you pray for us, and may God bless America. Bye-bye.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.